Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had a weekend of assignments and here they are. So on Friday, describe and or draw the place where you feel safest, record and listen. On Saturday, identify an issue. What was your process in deciding on the issue, record and listen. Sunday, jot down the beliefs you hold on to around this issue. Record and listen.
Talk about action-packed.
Talk about action-packed. All right. Here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning. This is Kim from Vashon.
Good morning, Kim. What did you see this weekend?
The issue that I identified is a process that goes on when my mother visits. And I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about this because it's conditioning's got me noodling and back and forth. And what happens is she's in a very hard situation. And she comes up and visits me just 3 times a year, and a lot of the time is spent venting about her suffering, her situation where she lives. And I get to a point, and I say to her, Mom, you're squandering your time with me right now, because when you're talking about this situation at home, you're back there, and you're not with me.
And she says,
well, she stopped. But I just don't, the question, you know, the thing that's going around in my mind is, what is my karma? What is her karma? What is my place? Like,
Kim?
Is it my, yes.
Kim, don't do that. Isn't that good? I have the answer just right there. Don't do that. Right? Because what you described is your mother comes to see you. You obviously want to see one another, which is, that's very good news right there. I'm guessing that's the case anyway. Because
yeah.
You could get together once a month, once a year or not at all. Okay. So she makes that effort, and she has what we, you know, we would project is a karmic tendency to get caught up in something unpleasant and focus on that.
Yes.
Okay. We would project that because we know that in ourselves, right?
Yes.
And so we don't have to have anything going about that, right? Because we do it, she does it, pretty much everybody does it at some point or regularly. And so you did what brought it to a halt and got the two of you there together. You know, you didn't say, Mom, you're an awful person. I can't stand to be around you. You didn't let it fester inside you to the point where you said, I never want to see that woman again. You didn't turn it into something that caused you to dread her visits or your relationship with her. You simply said, Mom, when you're focused on that, you're not here with me. And I'm guessing the conclusion there is, and I would really like you to be here with me because I'd like to be here with you. And that happened. That seems like a really, I think we could just end the story right there, Kim. That seems like a very good, And then conditioning wants to take you up into the place that you struggle so when she gets in, which is, well, you know, this and that, and what about that, and that shouldn't be, and that's probably not. You realized you didn't enjoy it when she was doing it. And you're not enjoying it when you're doing it, so then that's when we just say, okay, let's don't do that.
Okay, I have a question. I appreciate that is wonderful news for me. The question is that there are times where in my whole life, you know, she's my mom, so we have this thing going, right, that she's needed to vent. She's needed to vent. And so this process that she's in is a process of venting, and there's a part of me from childhood probably that feels really responsible to allow her to vent because nobody else will allow her.
Well, I would say that you have then established a very successful working protocol. And that is that you can say to her, because you said that to her, and she responded favorably, right? So when you get together, you know she needs to vent about this stuff because she can't do it anywhere else. And so you now have kind of the formula. You let her do that because it's a kindness, right?
Yeah.
That's all. It's a kindness. The woman doesn't have anybody else she feels like she can do this with. She feels comfortable doing it with you. You let her do it. You can watch your process about this, right? And you'll see a lot for yourself in it. And then at a certain point, you say what you said. You know, I understand, Mom. I know that that's really upsetting, and I know it's something that you just want to get out of your system, but do you feel like we're there? Because I want it, and then you have the conversation with her that you had before. I'm a mother, okay, of a daughter who probably has a lot of the same things going on. And I would so welcome that kind of communication. If there's anything like that, we could bring into conscious awareness and make our relationship better, I would be deeply grateful. And I know not all mothers share that opinion or that perspective, but I bet your mother and I both do.
Mm, that's so wonderful. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
So much help. Gosho.
Oh, gosho to you. To you both. To you and
thank
Mom.
You.
All right.
Thank you, Ashwini. Go happy.
Thanks, Kim.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know, Sherry, that exact guidance made it into the communication book, that ability to be present and completely listen to someone else and then with conscious awareness assist in making it a place that is compassionate for all, where I get to also say what would work for me. And then we arrive at a place of, there's a way in which it's not ego vents and ego listens, but there's a way in which someone is assisted in disidentifying and feeling heard. And then that is not let, that's not taken over by ego again, for someone else to feel as if they were left out of the conversation. And the balance gets reestablished for that interaction between two people who are now centered.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, when you lay it out like that, what you're describing is the two-handed recording exercise.
Right? Exactly.
Right? Only with an external person.
Another human being.
Mm-hmm. With another human being. And so with that, with what you just laid out, then Kim might actually want to go do a little two-handed recording for herself. As she said, that it takes her back to childhood. And so there may be some folks there who need to be heard, who need to feel as heard as Mom felt heard. And so it just, we have this ability to bring everyone into the circle of acceptance.
Exactly. So no one is deprived of being able to express and be heard and be reflected and be accepted into unconditional acceptance. And the thing we let go of is that it has to be done by another person.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's a subtle point because Kim's mom is also being gently guided to practice what will free her.
So
in feeling heard and then accepting herself and it's a beautiful ripple effect, right? Where it just starts with that exchange and then just ripples outward.
Yeah, and the last point, Sherry, that was so important is how we get to train people in consciousness in that exact way of if the karmic dance is allowed to go unchecked and suddenly you just stop facilitating that karmic interaction because you choose not to participate. That's actually not really kind, because the training has been, this is how the dance plays out. But then when there's a way in which there is a conscious and compassionate alteration to the sequence, then that's a very, very different communication interaction.
Yeah. That's, a powerful point, because if we just go about changing the rules on people and they have no idea why, that is really cruel. You know, if Kim just yelled, I don't want to hear it. Okay, the way they've interacted since Kim was a child is mom gets to vent to Kim about these things that are really painful and troubling to her. Then all of a sudden the rules are changed. Talk about feeling unloved.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sari. Hi, Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hello, hey, Loren.
Hi.
What have you been seeing?
Well, right now I'm really glad to just get on the call and get to going on with my life, no matter what conversation any voices want to have about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But now, just Loren, let's just stop there and underline that for a second, okay? The importance of living our lives rather than attending to a conversation in conditioned mind. That says it all, because we're always doing one or the other, and we are not living our lives when we are in a conversation in conditioned mind. We are not. So, go ahead.
Yes. And just one more thing about that, what I'm seeing recently is there are times where, you know, life gets through and I feel a certain freedom from the conversation and I enjoy that. And then there are times when the conversation is there and if I look to it, it's really stressful to me that it's there and it shouldn't be. But even in those times, it's still possible to just keep living my life.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
Yes. Well, you're practicing.
Yeah.
That's what you're describing, right? You're practicing. So we know what the difference is. So first we know what the difference is sort of intellectually. Yeah, I can imagine being happy. I think I was once. And that's it's a very conditional experience that we're going to. I mean, some of us can remember childhood and the freedom and joy of being unencumbered by ego, but for the most part, it's a pretty intellectual understanding. And then we begin to practice, and we have more of those experiences, and we realize that the difference is I'm not caught in egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. I'm actually here where life is happening. And then I get caught again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I disidentify and I'm here again. And then I get caught again. And it's not a mistake. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's exactly what I was looking at. I have, you know, some content around work that's kicked up by a few things right now, and it's so familiar, like the process and actually how it can be on different kinds of content different than work. It just happens to be on work right now, and
again, what an important point, right?
Yeah.
If the weekend had gone differently, it might have been on social interactions or friendship or family or whatever. But
yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah.
So we're on work.
Yeah, exactly. And then a great way to disidentify from some of it was to do the assignment for yesterday, you know, jotting down some of the beliefs around the issue of work. And, you know, and as I write some of them down, they seem like, I, you know, of course, I have no idea where they came from, and they're especially interesting because sometimes I believe the opposite of them. You know, like, mm-hmm. sometimes about work, I believe, you know, that my work is part of my practice, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's just something that's, you know, something that I do. And then on the other side of the duality, there's all these beliefs that, you know, that I shouldn't be giving energy to work, and, you know, that spiritual people don't get caught up in work, and it's just,
well,
I can, seeing in all of that, I can sort of just see, like, you know, that it's all just part of the system.
That's right, because it yeah. is the nature of beliefs to live
yeah.
in the world of duality, right? There are no beliefs outside of ego's world of duality. So we're always going to be, as long as we're in that dualistic, egocentric world, we are always going to be ping-pong back and forth between the two sides. We should, we shouldn't. Will the right people do mm-hmm. well? The okay, well, yeah, but that's the good, well, but that's not the, that is what beliefs are. And as long as we don't understand that it's a system, you know, the light room and the dark room, I just love that image for that reason. The world of beliefs and assumptions of ego's duality is the dark room, period.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. And we can be lost in it forever, not even actually recognizing we're in the dark. Because it looks like we're going around in our life, but we're in the dark, right? And then mm-hmm. we step out of that, and there are no beliefs and assumptions. There's just here. It's just presence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just a person having an experience, putting myself in the queue with other people, practicing, looking at their experience.
That's right.
And
being lived by life, an expression yeah. of life, a unique expression of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's good
it's
that we get together like this. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
the last thing
said,
that, go ahead.
Well, what you said about getting free of this by doing the exercise, there it is. Mm-hmm. That's the reason that we practice. We could stay stuck in that stuff for a long time, but if we will do an exercise, if we will turn our attention to something practice related, then we're right here. Life is here. Everything's good. We remember who we are. What's going on? Uh-huh. Fine. Yeah. What were we going to say?
Just something related to, yeah, about how doing the exercise, I feel loved in doing the exercise,
yes.
even if I'm looking at sticky content.
That's it.
And that was
that's
what
it.
I had written about on the assignment from the day before that, you know, about where do I feel the safest, you know, to feel safe is to feel loved, and I feel loved doing the assignment and showing up for
yes.
practice no matter what
yes.
I'm looking at.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Because what has, it's funny language, but what has you show up is love.
Yeah.
And the wanting to show up is comes after that. So that,
right.
that thing that I say periodically, I don't know if anybody relates to it but me, but I have this prayer. May all people feel the love that makes us want to love. Because until we have that experience, we really don't know what we're being called to or what's calling us.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is what you're describing. You mm-hmm. you do know that experience. And when you turn your attention to practice, you realize that's what's calling you, that's what's here, that's what you are, your home. It's complete. And then we go away again.
Okay, well, I'll yeah. listen to this all again, especially this last part, but it's
good.
It's all great.
All right. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. Oh, that was such a wonderful conversation, Jerry. There's so much about it, but the last part, of course, is my favorite reflection, which is, you know, that returning to the love that is, that coming
mm-hmm.
home and
mm-hmm.
the willingness to keep doing that. And the,
mm-hmm.
and it's what makes me religious, because when we're suffering,
yes.
we're aware that we are we are suffering and that mm-hmm. we're not at home. And mm-hmm. what calls us back is what seeks us as much as we seek it.
Yes. Yes.
And that is Ooh. Just the most loving experience that exists. It just, you know, it's that it makes you want to just jump up and down when we have a lived experience of that,
mm-hmm.
which is
mm-hmm.
what I project Lorraine was describing, that sense of being loved, because some that aspect of the intelligence that animates, that calls us back to our
yes.
to itself, we could say.
To itself, and we hear it,
yeah.
and we heed it,
yes.
and we respond.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
just glorious.
Yes.
It is the source of
it's
all gratitude.
It's an act of love. Yes,
yes,
an act of love. And that place of, we've been touching on this, that we don't want to, there's a way in which we don't want to be away from how it is. And so we're not avoiding or being averse to life arising.
No.
What we're redirecting the attention from is the suffering when we recognize
yeah.
it. It's not that I'm running
yeah.
away from suffering, but I'm turning away from it to what is not suffering, what is life,
yes.
and that
yes.
just a beautiful
and,
dance.
And in that, as we were talking about earlier with Kim, we bring the suffering into unconditional love.
Yes.
So everything yes. that was suffering comes into unconditional love. What doesn't come in is the ego that's agitating for suffering. It,
yes.
It could if it wanted to. It just doesn't want to.
Well, and it, I was just reading this fabulous poem about, you know, the Persian version of Satan being cast out, of Lucifer being cast out. And that,
mm-hmm.
that is the hardest work, which is a love that has turned against what would love it. You know,
yeah.
we could see that there's a way in which the return is non-separate, it's union,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a,
mm-hmm.
it's such a, Lorraine's description of that exercise really moved me to that place of what we're doing in practice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how often we feel separate if we know we can come home.
Yes, and it, a la your poem, what we're realizing is we can turn our attention away from that which has rejected love, and we can choose
yes.
love.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Which
yeah.
is an ignorance of what love truly is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. So the issue that's coming up for me right now is the age-old issue of what do I do? And it's coming up because the summer vacation is ending, and then it's like I feel like this, like ego's got a hold of this now. Like I'm faced with this. Like on the one hand, I sometimes feel so excited about, oh, I have this time and space now during the day to do the things I love, and I get so excited about so many things. And then the other thing that happens is I think, oh, I'm going to be sitting in this depressing, dark house with ego and not be able to find that energy and excitement to
do those things. So, Emily, is
there
any air to breathe? Is there any air to breathe where you live?
Yeah.
Can you go outside?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I can go
okay.
outside. It's cleared up. Cleared
okay.
up a bit.
You know,
yeah.
a lot of excitement. Yeah. So here is my best encouragement. First of all, of course, you want to get out of the conversation. No question about that. But
yeah.
are you an exerciser at all?
I'm a walker, then
okay, that's
a
good.
Stretcher.
That's a perfect answer. That's what I was hoping for. Okay, so mm-hmm. what I'm going to encourage you to do for the next 3 days is to walk.
Okay.
You can do whatever chores you need to do. You know, you might have to go to the grocery store, the post office, or, you know, something like that. But you walk. That's it. Because you are mm-hmm. in transition. You are mm-hmm. in transition, and that is, as you've noticed, the time that ego is most likely to leap right in the middle of our being.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so you just simply say, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know what I'm going to turn attention to next. Right now, I'm going to focus on walking and recording mm-hmm. and listening to help myself mm-hmm. through this period of transition.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about anything in the future. Well, you could not. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing it. You're kind of like Kim's mom. You're not letting ego vent. Okay? Because there yeah. is all of this energy that you have now. And, of course, what ego wants to do is take it away from you and give it to itself. And what you can do with 3 days of just walking and paying attention and recording and listening and being with yourself is you can give all of that energy to you. And out of that mm-hmm. will come the next thing that you're going to be focused on.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's good encouragement.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know. I have a feeling of how to do that. I was doing that a little bit yesterday, like mm-hmm. Very, very consciously. Like mm-hmm. it's a very, very in the moment kind of thing. Like,
yes, it is.
To concentrate every second.
On another retreat that I'm involved in yesterday, we were talking about that very process. And so when the voices kick in with, well, you could blah, 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 and start to do that thing, just get up and start mm-hmm. walking. Mm-hmm. Even if you're walking around the house, walk out into the yard, walk around the block, wherever you live, whatever. You know, mm-hmm. Whenever that starts, do the activity that brings you here. Grab your recorder and start walking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't give it a chance. Don't give it a chance. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I've got a feeling for that.
You'll
Thank
let me know
you.
How it goes. All right.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks, Emily.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Emily. Sherry, we have about 2 minutes. Shall we try to squeeze in another caller, or shall we just look at our assignment?
Let's look at our assignment. I would be concerned. I can't be quiet. Come on.
Okay.
You know me better.
Well,
all right.
Yes, I do. And just a reflection on that conversation with Emily, in that it goes back to what Loren was talking about. It's so much less than working out what we're going to do than mm-hmm. turning to love, turning to life, turning to the place from which it really doesn't matter what we do. Because that's what the voice is threatening with. If you don't find out, and if you don't do something meaningful in your life, you're worthless or you're unlovable or whatever the message is that was delivered to you. But if you can mm-hmm. be here for life, in love, completely who you are, and just alive, then that is what we're training ourselves to do by doing what brings us here.
Mm-hmm.
Not avoiding that necessarily what the voices are saying or the situation that seems unresolved, but just learning to live from presence, which it seems to me the most, the coup that ego has
achieved.
I don't know what the verb is there, achieved, that here is not a good enough place to live.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah. We have to do something other than just be here alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah. And gosh, haven't we all fallen for it?
Absolutely.
And don't we all? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the lack of trust that life is not going to do a good enough job of living me. Ego needs to take over and have better ideas.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. And thank you, everybody. Treasure yourself.
Thank you, Sherry. And the assignment for today around that issue are jot down the beliefs you push away around this issue.
All right. Here we go. Thanks, Ashwini.
And we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.